All right, that was Bill O'Brien last week after the win against Cincinnati 13-9. The latest on Brian Cushing is his personal trainer, Joe DeFranco, posted a podcast, and now this has been taken down. But in the podcast, he said that Brian Cushing was not feeling himself quite like himself in July, and he thought he had mono. Went to his personal doctor to get blood work done, and his physician said that Cushing was lacking DHEA, our hormone produced by the body's adrenal glands. And basically, under his doctor's guidance, Cushing began taking low dosages of DHEA.
Yeah.
And the problem is that this is on the banned list of substances in the NFL.
And has been forever. It's a precursor to testosterone. Like, it's known. I don't, frankly, trust that that's actually what happened. If it is actually what happened, it's idiotic. It's moronic, like, to think that you could take DHEA and get away. Like, it's, and maybe he's taken it and gotten away from it. Maybe he's got a method where he's actually been able to work. But it doesn't excuse anything. Like, if this is some ham-handed attempt to try to excuse it by saying, oh, it was an over-the-counter supplement. Like, no, we've known DHEA has been banned ever since they came out in the NFL. Like, in the late 90s, early 2000s, along with the baseball steroid era, everybody knew that DHEA is banned. Like, it's like clear cut, no doubt about it. If his doctor told him to take DHEA, Brian Cushing should have said, like, whoa, no, that's a banned substance. And what's dumber about it is that it really doesn't do much for you unless you're like 45 years old or older. Like, it's rare. Now, if he had declining levels, then perhaps it would have done something for him. It's just, it's on, it's like, it's stupid beyond belief that that's actually what happened. And as far as if DeFranco was trying to cover up or make Cushing look better because of it, it's even dumber. Because it's not even, like, if it's one thing, if it was a supplement that was tainted, which he still shouldn't have taken because he doesn't know what's in the supplement, but at least then he doesn't knowingly take it. He's basically saying that Cushing knowingly took a banned substance that probably isn't all that effective anyway, and that's why he's out for 10 games.
He's trying to make this argument that basically, Joe DeFranco on Twitter is basically saying, well, I don't care if this was his 10th failed test, DHEA should never carry a greater penalty than domestic violence. That is a complete false equivalency. Yeah. That's absurd. You can't make that kind of argument.
If you have your 20th traffic ticket and you know that you get your 21st, you're going to jail. You know what you are if you speed? You're a moron. Like, that's all it is. It doesn't matter. It's because it's a repeated violation. It's the policy that was in place. And there's no excuse. Like, it's honestly...
It's specific to that field. It's like a securities trader who has fraud and then he's banned from trading stocks for 5 or 10 years.
DeFranco's got to shut his mouth. He's a really good strength coach and trainer, and he's really smart in a lot of ways. But, like, if he thinks he's making Cushing look better or more sympathetic here, he's being an absolute idiot about it. He's got to shut his trap. I mean, like, he's got to really shut the hell up.
There are two options here, as far as I can see.
Yeah.
Option one is what you laid out, which is one option could be he's just making this up, kind of. That he's making this up and he's
right. I'm not even saying
else.
That Cushing has anything to do with what DeFranco's saying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's like part of a combined, like, did he clear all this with Cushing before he said it? I don't know.
I mean, either he's knowingly taking a banned substance, which is just completely absurd, number one, or you're in a situation where he's making it up to cover for Brian Cushing in some way. And it continues to reinforce my initial impression of this whole story, which is I cannot understand for the life of me how Brian Cushing is still on his football team. But what do I know?
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't. Like, honestly, I'm more upset with DeFranco here than I am Cushing. Like, I don't know. See how he thought he was helping the situation out.
Well, you don't like when other people associated with the athlete come out and then hurt the situation, like Savage's agent last week.
Right, yeah, like, just shut your damn mouth. You're not helping here. You might as well be like a little league parent or something. You're making the athlete look worse. You're making yourself look worse.
And
no matter what you think about DHEA, like, should it be banned, should it not be banned, it's of no consequence. Like, guys have known. This isn't even a gray area. That's very clear. And guys like Cushing, especially, who knows a little bit about chemistry, given his, at the very least, his defense of his first
suspension,
one.
Yeah.
Look, you don't take DHEA. You flat out know. You're going to get, if you got tested anytime after you took the DHEA, there's a good chance you're going to get popped for it.
On a lighter note, we had people texting in our answers to our question about Mormons and BYU and caffeine.
Oh, yeah.
So what I'm getting from the text line, I think, is basically,
because you're
that,
asking, like, why can they not take caffeine, or why can they not drink caffeinated beverages?
Yeah, it's not. Basically, they said there's no issue with caffeine. It's just coffee and tea.
Oh, really?
Apparently, Mormons cannot drink.
Yeah, but they didn't have caffeinated soda on BYU's campus.
Some 8302 guy said it's specifically tea and coffee. For some reason, non-Mormons always equate it to being a caffeine rule. There is not a caffeine rule.
Okay.
It's tea and coffee.
Well, for whatever reason, maybe it had nothing to do with Mormonism. The BYU cafeteria didn't serve caffeinated soft drinks and didn't have it in their vending machines. So that was a big, so apparently maybe they were just like going above and beyond because of the fragile youth.
Well, based on that, if I went off campus to a Starbucks and brought one into to a class at BYU, I feel like that would be really not looked fondly upon.
The coffee and the tea, I bet that you might as well be drinking like bringing a flask into a school event.
I would say
or something.
Even maybe worse than a flask, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like intentionally throwing it in their faces.
I've actually got an interview with the BYU dining director, if I could find it. We'll get to the bottom of this, damn
okay.
it.
Okay, interesting. Real quick.
If there's anything, that's what I'm teasing right now, everybody. Nowhere else are you going to get an interview with the, in the mid-1950s, the director of BYU Food Services decided not to sell caffeinated soft drinks. The decision has continued on since that time. Until more recently, dining services rarely received requests for caffeinated soda. Consumer preferences have clearly changed, and requests have become much more frequent. There you go.
All right, so things are changing at BYU. Real quick, college
Hell
football.
Hell in a handbasket!
College game day is in New York City for the first time on Saturday. Some people say it's because of the bad schedule. Some people say it's because of a cable dispute that ESPN has in the New York area. A&M faces Arkansas, and this game is going to be in Arlington. I think this is the first game where, obviously, you don't need me to tell you that Kevin Sumlin's on the hot seat. This is where that march kind of begins. Arkansas, tomorrow, 11 o'clock game. They play South Carolina next week. South Carolina lost their best receiver, arguably their best player, but they have a pretty good quarterback in Jake Bentley. Then they play Alabama at home in a couple weeks. At Florida the week after that, home Mississippi State, home Auburn, who's kind of okay, good defense, shaky offense, and they finish, obviously, at LSU. So they would be well advised to win tomorrow.
I don't know whether I feel better about Kellen Mond or Jake Kubiak versus Austin Allen among the quarterbacks. I have just huge question marks about all three of those guys at any given time. I think Travion Williams and his healthy return is the key to this game.
That's a big deal.
And I think Travion Williams will have a good game versus Arkansas, so I'm picking A&M in this game.
Landry and I were both surprised. Not that U of H has done a poor job through 2 weeks. I am genuinely surprised they're favored by 6.5 at home over Texas Tech.
What are you talking about? You got confidence in the Texas Tech defense or something?
I mean, I don't know who I have confidence in.
Are they in the top 100 in passing defense just yet? Look, I like David Gibbs as much as the next guy, but I like you. It's basically like you're trying to like, this is like David versus 20 Goliaths here and trying to write that defense at Texas Tech.
They allowed 45 to Arizona State. Arizona State does have a lot of talent on offense, so yeah. There is that. I'm just surprised that the line wasn't like 2 or 3 points, to be honest with you. Like, if I was in Vegas, I would consider betting on Tech in this game tomorrow.
I think that Houston defense is a very, very good defense, and Ed Oliver is a very, very, very good defensive lineman.
He's tremendous.
And playing at home especially, it just doesn't... There's nothing that Texas Tech's defense is going to be able to... I guess defenses don't keep pace with each other, but I guess match the effort of Houston's defense.
And Tech is 102nd in pass defense so far. 9:30... 5 reasons why the Texans might be able to hang with the Patriots and stuff Landry likes. Wade Smith will join us at the top of the hour. Does he buy into the idea, the debate 2 days ago with McClain and yourself about the offensive line? Was it any better against Cincinnati?